This story is Jesus' last parable in the book of Matthew. What is a parable, though? I know some of you are probably rolling your eyes now because of the amount of times someone has tried to explain what a parable is to you. Well, I'm going to challenge that traditional definition. That definition states that a parable is a story Jesus told to teach a lesson. Yes, that is what a parable is, but it is so much more than that also. A parable is something that Jesus used to flip the audience's viewpoint of the world on its head to make those listening really think about what he is saying. Let's dive further into this parable about the sheep and the goats to figure out what Jesus is trying to tell us here today. First, we need to decipher the differences of goats and sheep. Then we will shift our focus onto the sheep and their behavior in relation to the triune God, commonly referred to here as a shepherd. After that, we will then use our knowledge to reanalyze this parable and its implications for us as a church. We are all goats and sheep because we are beautiful and flawed creatures of God. But we are also called to show true compassion through agape love to all of creation, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But what does it mean to be a sheep and a goat? Who here can name 5 differences between sheep and goats right now? Show of hands. Anybody? Oh, good job. Okay, some of you who didn't raise your hands, you are not alone. I myself had to do some research on the internet to truly learn the differences. This is what I found. Sheep are grazers and goats are browsers, meaning that sheep eat low to the ground and are not picky eaters versus goats who eat things higher off the ground. As a result, sheep are more immune to infections because they are exposed to more bacteria on the ground than that of goats. Goats are more independent, or one might say selfish, or domineering, and higher maintenance, whereas sheep are all about living within a community. Which one of those do you think you are? For myself, I think I am both a sheep and a goat at times. Especially on my bad days, I can be a real goat. I can be as stubborn as they come if I want to be, which happens way more than it should, because I hate being wrong about anything. It is my biggest flaw, and that's because the desire to be right comes from striving to be independent in an unhealthy way. However, I think it's important and that we can be healthy and strive for independence in some form or fashion in our life. Think about it. If people in our collective past did not stand up for civil, gay, or women's rights, where would we be? I'll tell you, we would be in a very oppressed society with little to no freedom for anything. Independence also has a negative side to it as well. Therefore, one rule that I have to live by as best as I can is to do everything in moderation. It can apply to everything, particularly in this case. I think we are called to be independent at times, but I also feel like we are called to live in a community with one another. The key to this is finding a balance. That can translate differently for everyone, though. I don't have the authority, nor do I wish to have said authority, on deciding which is the right or wrong way to do this. I do, however, know that Jesus is our shepherd, and he would leave the 99 just to find the one who is lost. And we are all lost at some point in our life, which is comforting to know when we are taking a risk such as independence, especially independence within a flock of our siblings in Christ. In Ezekiel, we find today's Old Testament passage that is also talking about a flock. Here God is our shepherd, and we are all their flock. I love the verbs attributed to God that are used in this passage. Search, seek, rescue, gather, lead, bring, feed, secure, and strengthen. These are verbs of God's compassion and love that they have for their flock. This verse, however, ends much like our parable does, with the punishment of those within the flock who are self-righteous and selfish. These two passages end like this because of God's justice. Justice here in Matthew's gospel comes from the Greek words that have been translated into the English as righteousness. This righteousness is a combination of justice and mercy. So what is justice and what is mercy? What do these words really mean? We throw those words around all the time, but have you ever stopped to truly ponder what they mean? Well, I went back to the ever-reliable internet to look up their definitions because I'm a millennial. That's what we do. Justice is defined as just behavior or treatment. Okay, what does the word just mean here? Just is based on or behaving according to what is morally right and fair. Mercy is defined as compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Okay, is it just me, or do those two definitions contradict each other? Justice in our modern civil context is mostly used negatively because one of one's actions leading to their own punishment, whereas mercy, as it defined above, is compassion or forgiveness of said act, and therefore no punishment. So what does that mean for us? Well, let's go back to our parable for today. Jesus' main focus in this is what we would classify today as missions. In Matthew, Jesus is very specific about what kind of mission work we should be doing. It is a type of work that is better conveyed through merciful justice. This kind of justice is seen in today's parable when Jesus states that we need to feed, give drink, welcome, clothe, take care, and visit everyone. The veteran, the criminal, the lonely, the unstable, the sick, all are included. Because Jesus lives in each of us, even people that are unwelcome in some places. We do this through compassion and love. An example of this type of mission work is something a friend of mine likes to call flocking. Flocking is something the youth at First Presbyterian do to show their love for other church members. They do this by putting those plastic flamingos that you buy at Dollar Tree or Family Dollar in their members' yards with a joyful anniversary or birthday wish as a sign of their love. And they do this as a surprise. A mission of love, because that is what true compassion that has not been corrupted by selfishness is. True compassion is determined by one's motivation. Motivation that comes from a place where you are doing an act of kindness for the right reasons, and not because you believe that you are going to get something out of it for yourself. I believe you do this through love in its various forms. In Greek, there are four words for love: agape, philia, eros, and storge. They all play into part of these sheep who are true in their compassion. For our purposes, though, we're going to focus on agape love. Agape love is that unconditional godly love. Or according to Thomas Aquinas in the 13th century, agape is to will the good of another. To be someone that possesses true compassion is to be someone who has tapped into this agape love with the help of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, if you are truly acting from this place of agape love when showing compassion to the least of these, then you are doing it right. However, it is very easy to fall victim to corrupt compassion, a compassion motivated by selfish means. Corrupt compassion is where good works come into play. I'm sure you have all heard that good works don't get you into heaven. Well, this is true, and here's why. If you are doing good works solely to be able to check a box that says you've done it, then you have missed the point of this parable. What Jesus is saying here is that if you do something just because you think you will be rewarded for it in the end, then you are not doing it for the right reasons. Therefore, that righteous act is null and void. For example, doing the dishes. Whomever in your household is the one that typically washes the dishes does not want to have to ask someone to do them for them. They want you to do them because you love them and want to help. Or at least that is what my mom always told me when I was growing up. It's the same kind of thing here, though. The triune God doesn't want to have to tell you to be nice to people. They want you to do it because you want to do it, out of love for neighbor and for God. In this parable, the sheep are the ones who acted out of true compassion, and the goats acted out of corrupt compassion. Living in our modern society is a lot more complicated than that, though. We all possess many qualities of both the sheep and the goats. We are both, which is why we must never stop working towards a brighter and better future where mercy is just and justice is merciful for all of us in the flock. Because we are called to be the flock for and with the people. We are called to seek mercy through justice. We are called to act out of true compassion and love. We are called to be the flock of Christ. So let's get to grazing. Amen.